Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Today's episode, we are going to be talking all about supplements, and if quite possibly your supplements have ingredients that are toxic in them and might be making you sick. So this podcast is dedicated to one of our podcast listeners and one of my patients, Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie, for the idea. I appreciate it. And I'm guessing if Stephanie's wondering about supplements, then I'm guessing there's a lot more folks out there because, yes, anytime you go to the grocery store or you go to a supplement store for that matter, it's overwhelming the amount of choices you have in terms of these products. There may be like 500 types of probiotics and there may be a ton of different types of vitamin C. How do you know which one you're choosing is going to be healthy for you or healthy in general? It's not going to have toxic ingredients. So this is definitely a conundrum. And if you're in a hurry, you know, that takes time, you misread things. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the supplement ingredients that you definitely don't want in your products. And what, if you take a quick glance, you know, these are things you want to be looking for. Or the other way to kind of avoid all of this is stick with companies that have been testing their products, ensuring that they have the utmost quality, but also companies committed to transparency and giving you the best product that's going to be healthy for you. Because a lot of these items for supplements, I mean, these are things that you're going to be taking day in, day out for years. And these are going to be part of your natural healthy routine as you would be thinking of it. And if you're doing something day in, day out, you definitely don't want a product that has junk in it. That does no one any good because while you think you are getting some vitamins or minerals that you were missing out on, well, you might be completely missing out on them and now getting a nice load of toxic junk building up in your body. So this is really why supplements are controversial and can be controversial because yes, are the ingredients that are in there as fillers really helpful or are they not? So let's dive in and talk a little bit about this. Now, those of you who might be wondering right off the point here, I have a whole resource on my resource page at drjkrausend.com/resources. And you will find that at the bottom, you scroll all the way down to the bottom, I am going to put a notes or cliff notes or a guide, if you will, to reading the supplement label so that you do not have to take notes on this. You don't have to try to remember all the things I say. All right. So head over there after the show if you want to go and grab that because I think it's really important to have that PDF until you can really get to be familiar with the names of these things. So now let's talk about these different items and how they even get in our supplements. So the FDA has this ruling of generally recognized as safe, GRAS. And if an item is listed as generally recognized as safe in low quantities, okay, fine. You know, the body can handle a little bit of that. But think about a multivitamin. You're taking it day in, day out for, who knows, months, years, depending on how good your compliance is with that particular supplement. And so if you're taking something day in, day out, well, those low amounts of that toxin can actually be building up in your body. They may not be. You might totally be able to clear it just fine. But the reason I bring it up is a lot of people struggle to detoxify through their livers. They either have genetic mutations that prevent them from using their liver detoxification pathways well, or they're just eating such toxic foods that they're not going to detoxify anyway. Number one rule of my office with patients, a lot of times if I need to go there, I guess, so maybe not my number one rule, but it's kind of a big deal. Let's put it this way. Do not try to cover up your poor eating habits with supplements. It's not going to work. Your body wants the real food. Just saying. All right. So that aside, let's talk a little bit about these supplements and what's in them and why do we have these toxic ingredients. So the toxic ingredients all kind of are put together as either fillers, binders, coatings, colorings, and flavors. That's kind of their big categories here. Because sometimes those pills, you know, for the amount that we put in the pill has a lot of space. And unfortunately, we want that to, you know, make it look like it's, you know, more, there's more in that capsule, because we have a society of wanting to see more and wanting to see things full. I mean, I think anyone really kind of does, because you want to make sure that you're getting what you paid for out of that product. And if you see a bunch of capsules that are half full, you know, think about it. I mean, I would think the same thing. So all of these fillers and binders, coatings are not all toxic. There are ones that are non-toxic, and I will talk about that a little later in the podcast. So fillers, like I said, these are used to bulk up a product so the actual product looks like there's more in there. And unfortunately, we have a lot of different things on the market, because the supplement market is really not that much different from the food market in that there are fillers added to regular meats. There are fillers added to crackers and things of that nature too. Fillers are everywhere. So something to think about, because I think a lot of people think when you're taking supplements, you're doing something great for yourself. And you are, if you're using the right brands. Very similar to my podcast that I had about food quality and making sure you can identify in your foods toxic ingredients. The same fillers and binders that are used in food are used in supplements. So don't keep that umbrella of, oh, I bought my supplements at the grocery store and I'm doing good for myself. Yes, you're trying, but let's just take it one step higher than that and really get those toxins out of there so that you really can help yourself and allow these vitamins and minerals to get into your system. Because I think another thing that we don't think about is that if we have cheap vitamins that have toxins in them, are we even getting anything absorbed? Is our system more irritated because of the toxins that are in the supplement? So something to think about. Now, if you've been taking a cheapo vitamin C from the grocery store, don't panic. You just got to get your label out and read it, because there are some cheapo, as I call it, products out there that don't have a lot of toxins in them in terms of the fillers and binders and whatnot. But the problem is the source. So there's that too. You got to think about your supplements just like you think about your food. You want to find out the source, find out who owns the company, find out if they're doing testing on their products. And then you can go, okay, I can trust this company to make sure that I'm going to be getting quality supplements from them. If you can't figure out, you know, if the company's gone through multiple owners, let's put it that way, and big companies, chances are there might be some corners getting cut eventually. I don't know. There are big companies that are out there as well that do pay attention to ingredients, and that's one of their big selling points. And so there's a lot to be thought about in that case. And like I said before, treat your supplements like you treat your food. Find the source. Find out what's going on there so that you know where they're sourcing their products from. You know where they're sourcing their fillers and binders from. And now that way you can ensure that you are taking supplements that are extremely healthy for you. And I'm going to give you a list of companies that I trust. Okay, binders. Talked about fillers. Let's talk about binders a minute. These are products that hold ingredients together in a tablet form just so that it can keep the shape of that form. And they also can be used to add volume to a pill if the supplement is looking a little bit meek in its capsule. Lactose and sucrose, these are lactose is milk sugar, sucrose is sugar, are oftentimes used as the binders. So anyone who's lactose intolerant wants to make sure that the label is saying lactose-free or dairy-free. Those of you who struggle with being diabetic or pre-diabetic, a lot of times I have people look at their supplements because if you add up the carb grams of the supplements throughout the day, this could be also adding a problem. So think about that. Now, coatings. There's coatings like gelatin, which are making the capsule smoother, making the gel cap smoother, and they're easier to swallow that way. Now, gelatin is usually made from animal products. So those of you out there that are vegan, you'll be wanting to look for cellulose capsules. And some companies just use cellulose capsules anyway, just to, I guess, for lack of a better term, have a more sustainable capsule, but also have one that's vegan, so suitable for everybody. Now, cellulose is really hard for us to break down. In fact, we don't really break it down. This is something that our enzymes are going to have to forego, I guess that's a better term. Cellulose is the one of the main components. It's a sugar, and it's one of the main components in the cell wall of plants. And so that's part of that roughage in terms of humans, where we can't really break down cellulose. Our bacteria in our gut will work on it for us, and then we just kind of use it as fiber and flush it out the system. So cellulose is not a toxin, by the way, but its source can be an interesting factor. And one of the things to think about if you see the label cellulose or in the ingredients, look, you know, see if we can dive deeper into the company. Most of the time, birch or poplar trees are used for making cellulose, but sometimes not. It could be other items. So just make sure to read your labels and then contact the company if you're really wanting to know, because corn is often one of the biggies that's added to supplements and in the form of maltodextrin. I'll talk about that in a little bit here. And if you have a corn sensitivity, that's another big thing to think about. Now, coloring and flavoring. So a lot of inexpensive or cheapo supplements, as I call them, have artificial colors. And those colors make them look more appealing. But in most cases, they are not going to be good for you. Even things like Benadryl and other medications will be colored. And these are not obviously supplements, they're actual medications, but they're colored to help identify them better. But think about that food diet day in, day out in the body. What is that doing? I don't know. I will tell you this. I see a lot of sensitivities to food coloring on food sensitivity testing. Like probably I would say maybe a quarter of my patients, even myself, when I had my food sensitivity testing done, I had some allergies to blue food coloring and red food coloring, which was interesting to me because I don't eat many things with food coloring. So I was trying to figure out where the heck would that have come from. And I look back through my supplements now. Yeah, I couldn't identify the source. So I went, well, it must've been something a long time ago. Something to think about there. Back when I was addicted to Fruit Loops as a kiddo. Could have been then. Don't know. All right, so let's talk about these food colorings. So FD and C, blue number one. FD and C, blue number two. Blue is a big one. I see that one a lot on tests. FD and C, green number three. FD and C, red number three. FD and C, red number 40. FD&C yellow number 5 and FD&C yellow number 6 are considered the most toxic of the colorings that I could find with my research. So looking at colorings, I think colorings just shouldn't be in supplements anyway. I think that's goofy. Who cares about what color your supplement is? Yeah. So try, or just straight up avoid supplements that have food coloring in it. That's weird. You don't need that. Who cares about pretty supplements? You're just going to put them in and their body's going to do something with it and it's going to be done. BHT, butylated hydroxytoluene. This is a biggie. This preservative is in a lot of crackers and breads in addition to supplements. And really what it does is it enhances the shelf life of products and products that have some fats in them. And it's even a component in embalming fluid. Just going to put it out there. Just something to think about. We think about formaldehyde as being the main thing, but BHT can be in embalming fluid. And not, I think that depends on the formulation, and I'll have to consult with some of my resources that I have in my family about it. But yeah, it's been found to be in embalming fluid. So think about that one. Embalming yourself daily with your supplements.
Okay, so now let's talk about sodium benzoate. Sodium benzoate or benzoate is found in processed foods in addition to supplements. And the reason it's on the list here is because it can actually convert to benzene if it's taken with ascorbic acid. And this has the potential to damage your cells and your DNA inside your cells. Nobody wants that. We've got enough of other things like environmental toxins that we can't control that are damaging our DNA every single day. So with sodium benzoate, I typically will try really hard to avoid every single product that has that in it. And just for sake of discussion, or maybe sake of thinking a little bit more about sodium benzoate, it showed up on one of my food sensitivity testings. And it came up as I had a mild sensitivity to it. And when I looked back through my supplements, I found it in one of my supplements that I had been taking. And it was one that was from a skincare line that I thought was a good company. But, well, it ended up in my bloodstream. And so how did it end up in my bloodstream? Well, our guts can be leaky, and we can get molecules of what we're taking across into our bloodstream. Now, we want molecules in terms of nutrients to get to our bloodstream so it can get to our tissues and our cells, but we don't want sodium benzoate in our bloodstream per se. That's not so great. And so it was enough to be every single day that my body actually formed an immune reaction to it. So I created antibodies to sodium benzoate, and that's not good. That makes me a little disturbed. So in my mind, I'm going, okay, I definitely want the cleanest supplements out there, because if it's in my bloodstream, that means that it's traveling around in my blood. And who knows where it's lodging and what it's doing to my cells and my DNA. So something to think about there in terms of perspective, that if you have a gut lining that can be compromised, such as in the case of leaky gut, you could be getting a lot more toxins into your bloodstream than you really want. And especially if it's in a supplement that you're taking day in, day out. Because like I said before, all of these things are considered GRAS, G-R-A-S, generally recognized as safe. But I don't think we really know if someone takes something day in, day out for years on end, if we can consider it safe, because of the compounded effect of taking it over and over again. All right, so sodium benzoate, avoid that, especially if it is in your supplement and your supplement also has ascorbic acid, because the two of those together can cause some really big troubles for you in terms of toxins. Now, my other biggest pet peeve in terms of supplements and in terms of toxic ingredients is soybean oil. I don't know how many times I've looked on the back of lower quality supplements that you get at the grocery store or Costco or Walgreens, for example, and I look at it and it says soybean oil, or it even says partially hydrogenated soybean oil or hydrogenated soybean oil. And think about this. Hydrogenated oils are not recommended. They're trans fats. They're oils that clog your arteries. So why would you take a supplement day in, day out that has something hydrogenated in terms of an oil that can clog your arteries? And most of the time, these supplements that have the soybean oil are ones that are supposed to be for cardiovascular help, which is no help. In fact, you're kind of making things worse. So this isn't a good thing. So read your labels for soybean oil or any type of hydrogenated oil that might be in your supplements. Now, also keep in mind that soybeans are one of the most genetically modified foods out there, which means our bodies don't know how to process it that well. And soybeans are an inflammatory food, and for some people, it is a food that can create constant inflammation in the body. So something to keep in mind there. Look for soybean oils. And some of the supplements that you would find soybean oil in, I mean, I've seen it in vitamin D. I've seen it in fish oil supplements. I've seen it in turmeric as the oil that is used for liposomal delivery. Liposomal meaning fat delivery. Our body does absorb fats pretty nicely through the gut, but you don't want a bunch of soybean oil. Look for products that are using sunflower seed oil instead, because they're using a higher quality expeller pressed oil. And I will give you companies at the end, such as Thorne and Designs for Health, that are using sunflower versus soybean oil in their extractions for these particular products. Same thing goes with CBD oils too. I've seen some really crappy CBD, low-grade CBD oil with soybean oil as its extraction. Ugh. You want coconut or something of that nature if you're creating an oil for CBD. So let's talk about another supplement thing that I do not like, titanium dioxide. Titanium dioxide is one of the ingredients in your sunblock. And it should stay in your sunblock, not go internally. It is used as a coloring agent. It's used commonly in cosmetics as well. But taken internally, it can cause a lot of gut inflammation, especially, you know, in those who are gluten sensitive, who have Crohn's, who have celiacs, who already have a chronic level of inflammation on the gut. And then you take a supplement with titanium dioxide. No bueno. I actually just found a supplement that actually Stephanie, who is the gal who inspired me to do this podcast today, she was the one that had a supplement she brought in that had titanium dioxide in it. I'm like, oh, why do they put this in there? It just makes the supplement have a color to it. Ugh, who cares what color your supplements are? Who cares if they're not all the same color? That means they're more legit. Now, I have found titanium dioxide in a lot of different things. Centrum, nature-made products, Solgar products sometimes have it in Nature's Bounty. So read your labels, because titanium dioxide lurks out there. Now, another thing that you might find in your supplements is something called magnesium silicate. And this is interesting because silica can be in supplements as well. And silica is not as toxic. It really is a breakdown product of quartz, which is a rock, which sounds really weird. Why would I want to ingest this? Well, it just happens to help with the products in terms of the encapsulations of supplements. And really, it's a flow agent, meaning it kind of helps with the packaging of the supplement into the pills. Now, I'm no specialist in terms of how these go through a manufacturing process, so don't quote me on that. I am full on disclosing that I am not the specialist in that department, so I might sound a little bit uneducated in that department, but I do know that it's one of those components that also could be used as a filler. And magnesium silicate is similar in composition to asbestos, so it can cause lung issues when inhaled, but I don't think I would want it ingested either. And there's been some pretty incredible research on it in terms of stomach cancer. And magnesium silicate is talc. And there's been a lot of Chinese herbs, Japanese herbs, and even Japanese white rice is treated with talc to make it whiter. And so something to think about in terms of its ability as a whitening agent. So if you see magnesium silicate in a supplement, avoid it. Just the research is starting to compound about it being harmful to your gut and your stomach. Now, magnesium stearate. This guy is controversial because I have a lot of supplements that I recommend that do have magnesium stearate in it, but the key component in here is what is the magnesium stearate coming from? But what is the source? Because typically palm oil and refined palm oil is being hydrogenated. So much like I mentioned before, the soybean, the hydrogenated soybean oil, the magnesium stearate is coming from hydrogenated palm oil, which is not exactly something you want in your body, especially if you're taking something that you have to take day in, day out, and you already have cardiovascular issues, or you have arterial disease, or you have clogging of your arteries, meaning arterial plaque buildup, atherosclerosis. So these types of things you need to be aware of, that they do exist in supplements. But if you have a company that is working with a high quality palm oil and they're not hydrogenating it, you can tolerate that magnesium stearate and it isn't as much of a toxin as ones that are hydrogenated. Now, how do you know which ones are hydrogenated and you don't? I just said that really weird. How do you know which ones are hydrogenated and which ones aren't? Well, that's a good question. Companies, breaking it down to quality companies that are transparent about their manufacturing processes. My hands down recommendation is that if anyone has heart disease, cardiovascular disease, we're worried about the cholesterol, I'm not recommending supplements that have magnesium stearate in them for these folks. Or if I am recommending supplements that have some magnesium stearate, I'm really trying to keep it to a protocol, so not a long-term use supplement. So what does that mean for all of you out there? If you are going to be taking something like a multivitamin or a probiotic or vitamin D or fish oil, and it's going to be something that you're going to take day in, day out, make sure it doesn't have magnesium stearate in it. Find one without magnesium stearate. If it's something with a brief protocol, like maybe you're going to take something for a month or 3 months, that's fine. But I do highly caution folks that have any type of known arterial plaquing or elevated cholesterol to steer clear of magnesium stearate. So I guess my answer on magnesium stearate is it depends on what you're going for, because it is in a lot of supplements, and I will fully admit that it's in some of the supplements that I use, but I always have it in the back of my mind that I don't like palm oil. I'm going to be honest here. I don't like palm oil. I don't care how many people try to convince me that it's okay and the processing of it is fine and the sustainability of it and whatnot. It's not been researched to be a great oil, especially if you have issues with elevated cholesterol and you actually have clogging of your arteries. So there you have it. Use magnesium stearate with caution. Now, another ingredient in supplements that is considered somewhat toxic, however, it's based on corn. It's maltodextrin and cornstarch. You can often find those two in supplements. You can find in processed foods. You can even find cornstarch in baking powder. So the idea here is you want to be reading your labels if you have any corn sensitivity. Now, the other component here is trying to avoid genetically modified corn, because corn is very genetically modified. So if you read the label and it says organic and organic corn, okay, you're going to get a higher quality of corn, but what is this going to do to your blood sugars? You know, where does that maltodextrin fall in the label? Is it like one of the number one ingredients in your supplement when you read the ingredient list? Well, then it's a higher amount of maltodextrin than if it's at the end of that ingredients list. So something to think about. Do I think that maltodextrin and cornstarch are evil toxins that are more dangerous than some of the other ones I talked about earlier in this podcast? No. I'm just mentioning them, especially if someone has a corn sensitivity or someone is diabetic. These are things that you probably don't want in your supplement. Or if you're struggling with leaky gut, which most people have, or if you're trying to eat as clean as possible, or if you have autoimmune stuff going on, you want to avoid maltodextrin and cornstarch big time. Big time in kiddos too. I find that there's so many kid foods with maltodextrin and cornstarch in it, and then you add like Flintstones vitamins on top of it that have the maltodextrin in it, and it's like a huge hit for kiddos to have that much corn in the system. Because keep in mind, too, that if you're going to be taking something day in, day out, your body's going to respond to it over time. And these supplements could actually cause some of your symptoms. And so maltodextrin and cornstarch, I'd be worried about in folks who are diabetic, folks with skin issues, folks with autoimmune conditions. You might want to avoid maltodextrin and cornstarch in your supplements. So there's a couple more things that I want to note about toxins that are found in supplements. The big deal here is you want to know your company that you're getting your supplements from. I know a lot of people go on Amazon or they go to Costco and they just willy-nilly buy whatever's on sale. That is not the best way to go when you're looking for something that you're going to put in your body day in, day out. It's the same thing as food. I see some people eating super clean and they're doing so well for themselves, but then they're like, oh, I take Nature's Bounty or Nature Made, which are cheap supplements. Cheap brands, now brand, cheap brand. It's something that you want to be thinking about. Quality is a big deal. And I'm going to mention the brands that I recommend, and they'll be on my list of recommended supplements on my resources at drjkrausnd.com. So there'll be a link at the end of my podcast notes that'll direct you to my guide for how to find toxins in supplements and which companies I recommend for supplements because of their transparency, because of how they're owned. Because there's a lot of supplement companies that have been bought out by big pharma. That's just the way it is out there. They're left and right, or food companies. So I really like to stick with companies that are still independently owned and in control of their manufacturing processes and their commitment to overall health and safety of the folks who are taking the supplements. So that being said, herbs from China, that's a big deal. I only recommend supplements that are Chinese formulas, but the herbs have been grown in the United States. Evergreen Herbs is one of those companies. Mountain Rose Herbals, you can get a lot of Chinese herbs that are grown in the U.S. Heron, H-E-R-O-N, botanicals, a lot of Chinese herbs that are actually grown in the U.S. Because, yes, importing herbs from China, there's high levels of arsenic and high levels of lead. By the way, just something to note, there's a lot of arsenic in rice, and there's a lot of arsenic in wine, too. So keep a check on your arsenic and lead levels. I have people do their heavy metal labs every 3 years just to see how toxic they are. And especially if you have a thing for wine, there was just a big expose on California wines having high amounts of arsenic. No one said anything about Oregon or Washington as of yet, but I think it's worth it to look. Something to think about, because a lot of us think about, you know, the higher quality supplements, higher quality food, but we don't think about our alcohols and our other vices as important to find high quality. Same thing goes with, you know, your vodka, your whiskey, all of that. You want to be getting it from quality sources. So those are some things to think about. The other big thing to think about is green tea. A lot of people like the concept of drinking green tea. It's supposed to help to boost your metabolism. And yes, it does all those things. But cheap brands of green tea can be problematic because green tea picks up fluoride. It's a natural fluoride scrubber. And so what that means is it will uptake fluoride from the ground. And so if you are avoiding fluoride in your toothpaste and you're trying to filter your water and not get fluoride in, if you're drinking green tea, you want to be getting higher quality green teas. And I'm talking about tea shop qualities or Mountain Rose Herbals, great company there, or Silk Road Tea in Victoria, British Columbia. Those are higher quality green teas. So it's things to think about. Now, another ingredient that ends up sometimes in supplements is carrageenan. It's also in almond milks, so alternative milks. It's also in ice creams. Carrageenan can be a really big issue because it's linked to gut inflammation. and higher rates of colon cancer in lab animals. And from what I found, I was on a kick of almond milk and coconut milk and kind of rotating my alternative milks, and found that when I did my latest food sensitivity testing, carrageenan showed up there too. And I do have a lot of gut issues. I've had them since I was a kiddo. I've talked about it multiple times on the podcast. And so I'm going, you know, I don't think I'm going to be ignoring carrageenan anymore either, because I've just seen too many issues with it. So something to keep in mind, especially if you have gut issues. Now, is carrageenan a make or break deal on a supplement? If you don't have gut issues, then don't worry about it. It's just something that I like to note. Now, another thing that can be found in supplements is magnesium oxide and calcium oxide. Now, these aren't necessarily toxic. It's just that they're not easily absorbed. And so I like to recommend to folks, if you're looking for magnesium or you're looking for calcium, do not get the oxide forms. Get a chelate form, get a glycinate form, especially if you're working with muscles, for magnesium glycinate. In terms of calcium malate, magnesium malate, there's a lot of different versions that just don't get the oxide. That's basically what I'm saying, because it's just not as good for you. So those are just things to think about in terms of supplements. I like magnesium bisglycinate myself for post-workout recovery and muscle pain. And that's my favorite of magnesium. Just don't get the oxide. I don't think it does anything for anybody, really. So let's talk a little bit about supplement companies, because the biggest takeaway from this podcast that I want you to get is that the better quality of a supplement company, the more transparent they are, the more that they're committed to keeping you safe, the less toxins they're going to have in their supplements. Now, there's also another concept between whole food supplements and synthetic supplements. I'm going to give you a list of the companies that are whole food-based supplements. Now, I'm not going to say that they're entirely 100% whole foods, because really there's only a few companies that have some entire whole food supplements, such as Standard Process. But Mega Foods is a great company that has as closest to whole foods in their supplements as possible. Vitamin Code for Kids, Real Food, New Chapter brand. Those guys are all really good brands for whole food supplements, meaning they're using food as the basis for the supplement versus a synthetic vitamin. Now, I will sometimes use synthetic supplement companies because in some cases, we need to quick replete those vitamins fast, and that's the best way to go. Some people don't tolerate synthetic vitamins. If you don't tolerate synthetic vitamins, and a lot of people are like, well, what the heck does that even mean? Higher dosages of B vitamins, like a B complex, those are going to be all synthetic. If you get sick with multivitamins or B complexes, chances are that your gut bugs are off, because you need a good amount of gut bugs to help you absorb those vitamins. But you also might be just super sensitive to the synthetic component. B12 and folate also can be an issue. Methyl B12, methyl folate. So these are things to think about. Your body might have trouble processing those. So I recommend folks who have trouble with the synthetic vitamins that have the higher amounts of B12, the higher amounts of B6, B3, B1, to look for companies like Standard Process. Standard Process is out of Palmyra, Wisconsin. They've been around since the 20s. I've talked about them prior to this podcast. I really like how they think. They're whole foods. They're taking real food, crushing it up, compressing it into tablets, and that's your supplement, which is the way that we originally should be taking supplements. However, it's hard to get a lot of whole foods compressed into these pills. And so with Standard Process, the one downfall is that you have to take a lot of pills to get the effect. That's why the synthetics come in. And so the synthetic supplement companies that I really like, Orthomolecular Products out of Stevens Point, Wisconsin. You'll notice I'm very loyal to the Midwest where I grew up. Standard Process, yes, Wisconsin as well. But it's because I've been to their warehouses. I've been to their factories. I've seen what they do. They're legit companies. They're good. They are not out to fool you. Now, Designs for Health is another great company. They're owned still by their original founder since 1989, Jonathan and Linda Lizotte. Great company. They do research on their products. They make sure that what's in there is what they say is in there. And you're going to find minimal toxins in there. Same with the Orthomolecular brand. Thorne, also independently owned. Been around for a long time. Very clean supplements. I love Thorne. They're great. Vital Nutrients, privately owned as well. Claire Labs is owned by a corporation, but they are pretty true. So K-L-A-I-R-E. They're very true to their ingredients. Now, a company such as Pure Encapsulations, I recommend them a lot. However, they were bought out by Atrium Innovations. And Pure Encapsulations is under this Atrium Innovations, and Atrium Innovations also owns the Garden of Life brand, Douglas Labs brand, Pharmax, Clean Athlete, Trophic, and Douglas Labs. So that's a lot. Oh, sorry, I already said Douglas Labs, Genestra. Now, those are a lot of supplement companies, and I will link this in the resources page because I know I just read all those off really fast. But those companies are decent companies. However, I would be watching them like a hawk to see if anything happens in terms of their ingredients, because once companies are bought out by a bigger company, then that's scary. Now, Biotics Research Corporation is privately owned. That's another great company. A lot of people in my world love the supplements from a company called Metagenics. I don't love Metagenics because they are a subsidiary of a parent company called Altacor. This company is the same company that owns Amway. So this is a huge corporation. If you've known anybody that is associated with Amway, it's a big deal. And this Altacor has, or Altacor, I don't know how you say it. It looks like Altacor. Anyway, they have a big interest in Metagenics. And so because of the large corporation here, I don't know about quality control anymore. So, you know, they don't have a lot of toxins in their supplements. I will say that I like some of their items, but just be wary. Just keep reading the labels. That's what you got to do. You got to stay up on it because labels will sometimes surprise you and change as companies are bought out by larger corporations. So just keep an eye on those guys. Now, there is another website out there called consumerlabs.com. Actually, consumerlab.com, but the companies called Consumer Labs. They do independent research on supplements and supplement companies. So might be something to look into if you're really curious about the different brands that you have. Now, one of the things that this Consumer Labs does is they do charge. It's a nominal fee, but they do charge for you to use their research engine. But it is interesting to see a lot of your favorite supplements on there and what they think of them, and you'll be surprised. So that's another resource if you're wanting to dive even deeper into this. But if you're only skimming the surface and wanting to know if your supplements that you're taking day in, day out are okay, head over to my resources page at drjkrausnd.com/resources. And I will have at the bottom, you have to scroll down to the bottom, I'm getting lots of resources on my page. And click on the guide there because I will have it all outlined, everything that I spelled out today in the podcast and all the brands that I recommend looking for and using on a day in, day out basis so that, you know, all of your effort in eating clean and taking care of yourself pans out. So you're not putting toxic supplements back into you after you're eating clean and working on all of the other areas of your life to have non-toxic
interactions with the world. So that being said, make sure to head over to my podcast notes. You can also get to the link there at drjkrausnd.com, or just go straight to my resources so that you can get started in investigating the supplements that you have. All right, everybody, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I would love to hear if you have any ideas for future podcasts, because Stephanie helped me out on this one. Thank you, Stephanie. And anybody else out there, please let me know. I've got some great ones coming up. I'm going to do a review of the LipoMelt. That's going to be coming up here in December, so stay tuned for that. And I've got another one where I will be talking about food issues and really some eating disorders. That's going to be my next one, so stay tuned for that. You guys have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.